Good afternoon. I will now call this meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 1:31 p.m. on Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum today. Present today is Vice Chair David Wilson, Senator Jesse Keel, Senator Rob Myers, and just arriving Senator Lukey Tobin, and as well as myself, Chair James Kaufman. We also have Representative Rauscher in the audience, so recognizing his attendance today. Staffing the committee today is Dylan Williams, our LIO moderator, and Juliana Singh from Records, and as always, our Transportation Committee aide, Emma Torkelson. At this time, I'd like to remind everyone to turn off or silence your cell phones. Today's agenda will consist of two items: HB 81, Vehicle Boat Title Transfers on Death by Representative Rauscher, and SB 255 relating to obstruction of public places by the governor. Before we get started, I want to let anyone online know that we will be taking public testimony on SB 255 towards the end of the meeting. Anyone not able to get in today, please feel free to submit written testimony to stra@akleg.gov. And if you are in the room to testify on SB 255, please sign up on the sheet outside the room on the table out there. So first up, we'll have House Bill 81 by Representative Rauscher. This is the first hearing of HB 81. Today is my intention to hear a bill introduction, take invited and public testimony, take questions from committee members, and hold the bill for further consideration. With that, I would like to invite Representative Rauscher and his staff, Ryan McKee, to the table. Please come on up, place yourself on the record, and proceed with introduction of your bill.
Thank you for the record. My name is George Rauscher, District 21 Representative. I'd like to thank Chairman Kaufman for hearing this bill, along with the chair, with the members of this committee. I appreciate it very much. HB 81, an act relating to the transfer of a title on the death of an owner and providing for an effective date. House 81 is the ongoing effort to reduce the costs of probate for Alaskans and creates a streamlined service through the DMV through which they can designate beneficiaries for both cars and boats through simple form. The process of probate in the state of Alaska can take anywhere from 6 months to several years. It costs family members and beneficiaries thousands and potentially tens of thousands of dollars in legal and filing fees. While the state legislature has already taken great strides to reduce the costs of probate, there is still much more room for improvement. House Bill 81 continues in spirit with the Uniform Real Property Transfer on Death Act, otherwise known as URPTDA, which unanimously passed both bodies in 2014. URPTDA created the Transfer on Death TOD deed, which allowed for non-probate transfers of real property. TOD deeds allow Alaskans to select a beneficiary who will receive the property. At their passing, it removes the property from the process of probate. In 2016, legislation similar to HB 81 was introduced, but the legislation failed to pass that session. HB 81 is nearly identical, although it expands the concept to apply both to vehicles and boats that are issued titles through the state of Alaska. The program will be self-sustaining through fees. I just encourage a support for this bill. I'd like to turn the conversation over to my Chief of Staff, Ryan McKee. I'll go through a short but lengthy sectional. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKee. Please place yourself on the record. Proceed with your testimony.
All right. For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher. Section 1 adds a new section under AS 05.25 that allows owners of boats for which the Department of Administration issues titles to obtain a transfer on death or TOD title. Section 2 amends AS 1333-101A to add a transfer of boat or vehicle by TOD title to the existing list of acceptable non-probate transferable property. Section 3 creates a provision under AS 1333 for a transfer on death title for boats and vehicles, creates and defines the mechanism through the Division of Motor Vehicles by which individuals will obtain, revoke, or change their transfer on death title, and defines the parameters of the transfer on death title. A through C, obtaining a TOD title, this creates a provision under AS 1333 for a transfer on death title for vehicles and boats for which DOA issues titles. And then furthermore, this includes some manufactured homes for which the DMV issues titles under AS 45-29-102-66. These homes are without a permanent foundation and transportable in one or more sections. It requires that the transfer of title to the designated beneficiary occur when the sole owner or last surviving joint owner of the vehicle dies. It requires that owners of the boats or vehicles file a form through the DMV and pay associated fees to apply for a TOD title, and then limits the TOD titles to two beneficiaries. TOD titles effective without notice or consideration, and that provides that TOD titles will not require notice or acceptance by the designated beneficiary, provides that TOD titles will not be subject to consideration, the process by which there is an exchange or quid pro quo required from the recipient of the assets, and this language is taken from the TOD deed status under AS 1348060. And then Section E, TOD titles are non-testamentary, states that TOD titles are non-testamentary, meaning that the associated vehicles do not need to be provided for in the deceased will. Sections F through G, the revocation or change to TOD titles, provides that the owner may revoke or change the designated beneficiary on the TOD at any time without the beneficiary's consent. Explains the process by which owners may revoke or change a TOD title. The owner can either assign and deliver the certificate of title for the vehicle to another person, thereby revoking the TOD title, or file with the DMV to reissue the title without a designated beneficiary or with a different designated beneficiary. Part H designated beneficiaries' right to disclaim interest. This allows designated beneficiaries to refuse the boat or vehicle designated to them in a TOD title, and this was taken from AS 1348100. Part I, TOD titles subject to decedents, creditors, contracts, etc. Subjects the TOD title to creditors' claims against the owner's estates, as well as to other interests, contracts, liens, encumbrances, assignments, and other interests. These interests remain attached to the boat or vehicle after it is transferred to the designated beneficiary. And J through M, enforcing liability upon TOD titles, imposes the same procedures for enforcing liability upon TOD titles that is applied to TOD deeds under AS 1348110 and AS 1348088, which provides that the estate may enforce liability against boats or vehicles with TOD titles if the owner's estate does not cover an allowed claim, and states that if there are multiple vehicles and or boats and a liability exists in the deceased estate, the liability will be proportionate to each asset in proportion to its net value, and requires that a proceeding to enforce the liability must begin within 12 months of the owner's passing and can only begin once proper notification to beneficiaries has occurred. It stipulates that TOD titles do not affect rights of ownership before the owner's death and do not affect rights of the designated beneficiary or creditors of the owner or owners. TOD titles do not give legal or equitable preference to the designated beneficiary, and TOD titles do not affect designated beneficiaries' eligibility for state public assistance. N through P, Uniform Standard of Survivor Requirements to TOD title, requires that the designated beneficiary survived the previous owner by 120 hours. It requires that the designated beneficiary submit proof of the owner's death and an application and associated fees to the DMV. And if there are two beneficiaries listed on the TOD title, they become joint owners. And then TOD titles may not change by other instruments, which provides that TOD titles may only be changed by the process outlined in sections 3 and not by a will or any other instrument. Part R gives the DOA authority to develop regulations to implement the TOD titles, establish necessary forms and fees, etc. Part S is definitions. Section 4, AS 1348-110C, is to add a person acting on behalf of surviving spouse of the decedent to the list of people who may demand to enforce liability against the decedent's property. Section 5 adds a new section to AS 2810-275 relating to vehicle titles to clearly state that owners of vehicles for which the DMV issues titles may obtain a TOD title. And Section 6 gives the DOA authority to develop necessary regulations. Section 7 applies an immediate effective date to the Section 5 of the bill to allow the department to develop regulations. And finally, Section 8 applies an effective date of July 1st, 2024 to the legislation except for Sections 5 and 7. And then I believe we should have a couple people online for the committee if we have more detailed questions.
All right. Thank you. Before we do, any questions so far? Senator Tobin, I believe you struck first.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I love talking about planning for the unfortunate reality that we all might not be here on this earth. And I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to remind folks to make sure that they have their living wills and testaments, they have their durable health proxies created, they have their do not resuscitation stipulations, they have electronic wills, they have their power of attorneys. All of those are really incredible and important planning documents, and I'm very excited to see this particular piece of legislation before us. I do have a question, however, as my experience in this is in the charitable world, working with nonprofits, and ensuring that assets that want to be willed to those entities are possible. And I see in the last second to last page where the definition of person includes corporation, company, partnership, firm, association, organization, trust, business trust, society, or other natural person. I am curious, and I just hope that we can have clarity if those include charitable entities and organizations or nonprofits. But if you were in, say, Seward, I would like to will your boat to the Seward Community Foundation, you would have the ability to do so.
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Senator Tobin. We have a lawyer on that would probably be able to answer that specifically.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll go to Abigail O'Connor, owner and attorney, O'Connor Law. Ms. Connor, if you would please place yourself on the record and let me know if you need to hear the question again.
Through the chair, this is Abigail O'Connor with O'Connor Law in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm a trust and estate attorney in Anchorage. When I didn't write the legislation, but when I read the definition, person includes a corporation, company, partnership, firm, association, organization, trust, business trust, or society. I mean, typically a charitable entity, it has some organizational structure. Either it's often a corporation, or it's usually like a nonprofit corporation, or some kind of an organization. So I imagine that the spirit of the legislation is to allow a charitable gift. I can't promise that every charitable organization would qualify as a person, but if it is a corporation or a company, or if it qualifies under one of these forms, then I don't see why it would not be an acceptable heir.
Follow up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in that interpretation, would you also include a place of worship? I know that part of my will goes to my home church, and I know they may not necessarily have articles of incorporation. So within this definition, do you believe a place of worship would be included?
In my through the chair, in my interpretation, I would, because I would include a place of worship as an organization or an association or society. But again, I can't promise that a court would interpret it the same way. The language does not say religious organization, but it does say organization. So I can't promise, but that would be my interpretation.
Follow up.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will work with the bill sponsor so we can make sure that that is included within that definition.
Thank you, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm looking on page 3, lines 18 to 22. I understand that they're rare, but I have occasionally heard of loans that go away upon the death of the person that took out the loan, so it doesn't, the loan doesn't pass on to family members. I just want to make sure that change that, so that it's talking about liens, it's talking about claims of creditors against the owner or owner's estate, to make sure that if that loan would go away when the owner passed, if they got a TOD, that wouldn't change the term of the loan, and now the loan would attach to the vehicle and go on to the new owner.
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Senator Meyer, is the maker of the bill online right now to get a clarification on that? My understanding is it would, but I sure would like to have that if they're available.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're referring to Miriam?
Yeah.
Right. Ms. Hall, are you there?
Yes, this is Miriam with Peak Trust Company.
Yes, ma'am.
Miriam Hall.
Yep. Did you hear the question? Do you need it to be repeated?
I did hear the question. I don't know that I'm the best person to answer that question now, but I can certainly get a answer in writing, or perhaps Abby would be a good person to respond to that.
Thank you. And just for the record, that was Miriam Hall, Coordinator, Marketing Communications, Peak Trust Company. All right. Any other questions or follow-up, Senator Meyer?
I'll take one more question. Yeah, just for the bill sponsor, Mr. Chair, I'm just curious if we have any idea how often this might be used. If it's passed into law, are we talking about just a few, or could there be so many that we could see a tidal wave?
Do we need to take a brief at ease to recover from that one?
Representative Rauscher, for the record, through the chair to Senator Meyer, we will find out if we can get some kind of a quantification on that. Thank you.
All right. Shifting gears, we have a question from Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try not to get too deep. the question, I guess, for the bill sponsor, I want to thank the bill sponsor, actually, for bringing this forward. This is a good piece of legislation. Maybe a little clarification on what happens if the beneficiary doesn't come in to to the DMV and get the title, the TOD title, put in their name expressly. When they're in an accident and the officer asks for the vehicle registration and or get pulled over for speeding, what is the status of the title then if they just have never gone in and gotten put cleanly in their name?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair to Senator Keel, there is a disclaimer where you can refuse, so I imagine it could be looked at that way, or I would have to reach for a lifeline to get a better understanding about how that would work in this situation. Maybe it's come up in the past where somebody was not there at the will reading. Maybe there's not a beneficiary. There's probably a lot of different ways that could actually have happened, and I don't have the answer, but if I had someone online that might be able to know.
Yes, please, Ms. O'Connor. Ms. O'Connor, if you would, please place yourself on the record and let us know if you need the question to be repeated.
Thank you. Through the chair, Abigail O'Connor, O'Connor Law, Anchorage, Alaska. Great question. Same question applies with or without this bill. As a note, if I die on my way home, okay, that'd be bad. I would be in my car. Say something happens, I pass away, and nobody does anything with my estate. There's still my name still on the title. It's a similar issue. Here, I don't know that there's a real answer in terms of equity. What this statute is doing is creating an equitable interest in the beneficiary. A disclaimer is an affirmative rejection of an inheritance, and we have a body of law on how to disclaim in 1370. So just failing to go to the DMV would not constitute a disclaimer, so the beneficiary still would have an equitable interest in the car. It does present an interesting issue of liability, which I hadn't thought of before, and that is, you know, if I pass away and I have named Joe as the beneficiary, but Sally takes the car and gets into an accident, is Joe the beneficiary liable? I'm not an injury lawyer, so I don't know the answer to that question. I think it does create a concern for the beneficiary. Does it create a potential concern for the estate? Possibly, but without this statute, that concern is one of our big concerns. So one of the issues that we have with probate and vehicles is that a decedent's vehicle is a concerning liability for an estate because it's very difficult to insure, and there's a question as to whether the insurance actually applies. This statute allows people to avoid that problem by naming a beneficiary. So to answer your question, if somebody is driving the car after someone dies because the beneficiary hasn't gone to the DMV, I think the beneficiary still has an equitable interest in the car. In terms of liability, I don't know that it's clear. I don't see a clear answer, but I don't know that this statute can solve it. In my opinion, I don't see it as any worse as what we currently have, which is that right now the estate presumably would be liable.
Thank you. Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. O'Connor, thank you for walking through that. I wasn't even thinking about personal injury. I was thinking about things like tickets and things like you know, it's interesting, actually, your mention of insurance will probably cover the vast majority of cases. As the beneficiary needs to go get it insured, they'll need to have their title. Mr. Chairman, I may ask the DMV if there's an opportunity to do better than status quo, but I don't want to hold up the bill. So thank you.
Thanks, Senator Keel. Do we have any other questions? All right. So seeing no further questions, we'll move to public testimony, and I will now open public testimony on HB 81. And is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? If so, please note I'll be holding testimony to 2 minutes or less. Looks like no one in the room. And looks like we have someone online. So, Mr. Martin, if you're there, please place yourself on the record. If you would, hold your testimony to the two-minute mark.
Yes, Chairman Hoffman. This is Ed Martin, Jr. From Kenai, Alaska. I suppose I should be talking in respect to the company, construction company, my wife and I and my son own, and or are interested in any heavy equipment that may be involved in some probate. I don't think this bill includes that, but it's a big asset. And it's one of which I've already, established a will, living will, and my wife has, as to how this equipment may be transferred to our son. I surely would not want that to be held up in any form or fashion, as which there may be a UCC code or something that someone like a bank or somebody else may hold on this equipment or feel that they need to collect a debt on that equipment. But I believe that this bill may not be complete in that sense. Now, the other thing, the waiver, only 26 states have passed that act. I want you to know, if you do a little research on the beneficiary waiver, I think a little work could be done on this. I believe that the spirit of it is very, very well. Thank you, Senator Welsher. And I hope this committee will take it, you know, a little further. Make sure you do your homework, as it is very important to the well-being, financial burdens that may be placed on a, you know, a you know, one who's lost their family. So thank you for the testimony. Oh, by the way, I want to testify on the next bill also. I've asked them to hold me over.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for holding it to the 2-minute mark. I appreciate your thoughtful remarks on this bill. So just before we move on, is there anyone online or at an LIO that we have not accounted for? It appears not. So with that, I will close public testimony. So any final questions, conversation, thoughts on this bill from the committee? Well, none noted. So Representative Rauscher, would you?
Yes. Representative Rauscher, for the record, through the chair, actually to the chair. In past committees, people tried to put in airplanes, and they're controlled by FAA a little bit too much in federal to be able to include. I heard the gentleman just now talking about machinery or something like that. That hasn't come up at all, but I can tell you if you're going to be thinking about airplanes, that was already ruled out in previous discussion, just to give you an edge on the discussion there.
Thank you for that, Ian. Doesn't appear any further questions. Mr. McKee, I want to thank you for that compelling read of that wonderful sectional. My heart always goes out to anyone that has to grind through those. So, this was a pretty good one. We've seen, I don't know, worse or better, but it was a good one. So nice job on that. Thank you. And so seeing no further questions, I'm going to set an amendment deadline for HB 81 for Monday, March 25th at 5 p.m. With that, we're going to set this bill aside, take a brief at ease while transitioning to the next bill on our agenda. Thank you. We are back on the record. Next, we'll take up Senate Bill 255 by the governor. This is a second hearing of the bill. We last heard it on March 14th. It is my intention to take public testimony and then hold the bill for further consideration. I know members may have further questions for the Department of Law or DOT on this bill, but in the interest of giving everyone online a chance to testify, I'll ask that you hold your questions until after the testimony. If we have time at that point, we can take questions until the end of the meeting. No matter what, members will get another opportunity to discuss this bill with the sponsor. Is the members of the committee okay with that arrangement? Okay, great. Thank you. So with that, we will proceed to public testimony. And please note, I will be holding each individual testimony to 2 minutes. I ask try to keep within that time frame so we can get everybody through. So with that, I'll open public testimony. And we have folks in the room. First on the list, I have Kay Brown from Anchorage. Would you please come up and place yourself on the record? And if you would, Morgan Lim, be prepared immediately after this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity. This is Kay Brown speaking. I do reside in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 255. This bill impinges on our constitutionally protected right to gather in a public place without a permit. And this criminalizes this constitutionally protected behavior, our right to assemble as citizens and to protest and to speak our minds. I think it is an attempt to intimidate, dissuade, and discourage people from assembling by establishing this new crime of obstructing free passage in a public place. You need to add a definition if you're going to pass this, which I recommend that you do not. But what is a public place? Is that a sidewalk, a trail, a park? Does it include any public land? Someone could claim that by standing on a sidewalk and blocking their path, they have triggered criminal and civil liabilities that are significant. It is far too broad as written. You need to tighten up both sections 9 and 4 of the bill. Also to address what is unreasonable inconvenience referenced in section 9. It appears that just standing on a sidewalk obstructing passage of another individual is a Class B misdemeanor. This is outrageous. Section 4 also has significant problems. What are nominal damages? That's unclear. Finally, I'd like to mention the effect that this bill might have on our unhoused population, houseless people who are occupying public places and arguably could be impeding other citizens at various times. So in summary, this bill is unnecessary and a constitutional violation of our rights as citizens. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. I just want to acknowledge your prior service as a representative. So
thank you. Glad to be here.
Must be interesting to be back. I can only yes, imagine. All right. Thank you. And so next up, we have Morgan Lim. Please place yourself on the record.
Thank you, Chair Kaufman and members of the Senate Transportation Committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim. I'm a Juneau resident, and today I'm testifying on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA strongly opposes SB 255, a bill that would criminalize Alaskans who exercise their freedom of speech and assembly. The language of this bill is both so broad that it renders constitutionally protected speech illegal and so vague that those who wish to follow or enforce the law are unclear as to the legislation's scope. Under SB 255, people could be charged for obstruction of free passage in public places if they knowingly make a public place impassable or significantly inconvenient or hazardous for passage. It is unclear what impassable, significantly inconvenient, or hazardous for passage means. The vague language of this bill is an attempt to crack down on Alaskans' ability to protest, demonstrate, and freely assemble in public places. Vague and overly broad laws can be applied selectively by law enforcement against parties engaged in disfavored speech. There is no way for the state to neutrally apply this bill, which could be used to target politically disfavored speech, and it raises more questions than answers about what conduct is permissible in public. Moreover, new obstruction of free passage crime appears to criminalize homelessness in public spaces and could be weaponized by law enforcement to target marginalized groups, including the unhoused, exacerbating rather than alleviating Alaska's housing crisis. This legislation does not make Alaska safer or address a current problem for people protesting across the state. Instead, it is government overreach that sends a threatening message to protesters in order to chill free speech. Please oppose SB 255. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lim. And Mr. Matt Jackson from Anchorage Hillside, please come up, place yourself on the record. And like we have Aaron Brekel afterwards, so please be ready.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Chairman Kaufman and the committee. My name is Matt Jackson. Recently moved to Anchorage, and I'm going to start by reading some words that I hope are familiar to everybody on the committee. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And in my opinion, that's all you need to know about this bill. It's just a blatant violation of First Amendment rights. It seems pretty clear from the governor's history and some of his statements around this that it's intended to chill dissent, and the First Amendment was written specifically to protect us from these kinds of bills. I want to draw out one specific example of how this would have a chilling effect on freedom of speech. In Section 4, it says that a person who's liable for civil action under this act would be liable for no less than $50,000 to a person who suffers injury to property. So I could, under my constitutional right to protest, could cause someone to suffer $5 in damages, and I could be liable for no less than $50,000. In case anyone is not up to date with the latest statistics, the median income in Alaska is $34,000. So that's quite a bit more than the average Alaskan makes in a year, and they'd be liable for no less than that if they caused even as much as $1 of damage through some accident related to their constitutionally protected free speech. There's a lot of other issues with this bill that other people have raised, and I'm sure we'll continue to raise, but I think that's just one specific chilling example of how this would have an intimidating effect on our constitutionally protected right to free speech. So I encourage you to oppose this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Excuse me while I reset the timer. So are you Mr.
Aaron Brekel? Yes.
Brekel. All right. Thank you. Please place yourself on the record.
Thank you. My name is Aaron Brekel. I'm a constituent of Senator Keel. I live in Douglas, Alaska. I grew up in this neighborhood. Thank you for coming to Juneau, to our state capital. This bill is a non-Alaska solution to a non-Alaska problem. I don't know where the governor got it, whether it was the American Legislative Exchange Council or Heritage Foundation or the Cato Institute, Judicial Watch, one of these other outside organizations. This is not an Alaska problem that they're trying to solve here. Earlier today, I was at the Just Transition Climate Justice Rally, and I was standing outside the Diamond Courthouse. Security came out. They told me to move. I was standing on a public sidewalk. Nowhere near, not within 10 feet of the doors. They told me I couldn't be there. This is my neighborhood. This is where I grew up. I went to the elementary school across the street. I was here before that building was built. As an Alaskan, this is deeply offensive. I said, that's not okay. Who told you to tell me this? The building manager. The Department of Law building manager says to tell people to move off of the sidewalk when they're gathered, assembled, speaking in front of their state capitol? This is an unacceptable bill. This is a sign of the things that are to come. Now, how many people sponsored that rally? How many organizations sponsored the Alaska Just Transitions Summit? How many of them would be liable for a tort if there was a claim that somebody was obstructed? $10,000 per offense? This is terrible. This is the create an entirely litigious, ridiculous situation. But why does that exist? It exists so that people who are assembling with concerns can be targeted by big concerns, both individually and in groups. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. We have Michaela Stith from Anchorage. Would you please come up, place yourself on the record? And following Michaela will be Kathy, looks like Wallace, or Walling.
Good afternoon. I'm Michaela Stith. I'm here to ask you to please oppose this Senate Bill 255. It's clearly an attempt to criminalize nonviolent protest. As many others have mentioned, it is against our First Amendment right, the right of people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We all know who Martin Luther King Jr. is. One of his quotes is that we adopt the means of nonviolence because our end is a community at peace in itself. We will try to persuade with our words, but if our words fail, we will try to persuade with our acts. Nonviolent action is core to American identity. It's core to what it means to be an Alaskan. And I'd like to remind everyone here that our right to peaceably assemble is a unique freedom provided in this country. I'm specifically concerned about sections 8 and 7 about obstructing highways. This is a common form of nonviolent protest throughout this country. I myself have participated in such a protest in the Black Lives Matter movement. Banner drops and highway blockades make a statement to persuade when we are not heard within traditional means. And it is our right to be able to do this sort of nonviolent direct action. It's also unclear to me in this bill whether the punishment of a felony might revoke someone's right to vote in federal elections as well, because in Alaska it is possible to remove someone's right to vote when you are convicted of a felony. So we are saying here that if someone is coming to show what they, in conclusion, I just want to say that this is a violation of First Amendment rights and that we should not be supporting this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, we have Ms. Walling. Okay, please come up, place yourself on the record. And following Ms. Walling, it looks like we'll have Kira Lena Laharte. So please be ready. And if you would, please place yourself on the record.
Hi, thank you. My name is Kathy Walling. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I thought I was just signing in, and I wasn't signing up to testify. So that's the truth. And I came to this meeting to listen and hear more of what this bill is. And from what I read and from what I've already heard so far, I just want to invite you all to uplift the voices that you've already heard and really urge you to oppose this bill. I haven't prepared something else to say, but, oh my gosh, peaceful assembly, protection of First Amendment rights. We need you to help uphold those by opposing this bill.
Thank you. And with respect to signing up for something and being surprised by what it is, there's probably people up here that...
Well, sometimes surprises get to do it. Otherwise, too.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And we have Kira Lena Laharte. I'm murdering your name, I'm sure, so please...
You were actually closer than a lot of people get. So my name is Kira Lena Laharney, and I'm from Anchorage. I'm here to testify against Senate Bill 255. I want to say that when government bodies and assemblies are not adequately representing the will of the people, we have to have a way for redress. It's a clear conflict of interest, this bill, that if the people want to protest government actions that are not serving them, the government could simply just choose to not grant them a permit to assemble and to make that protest, which could potentially support authoritarian government actions, and it also suppresses our freedom of speech. I would like to echo what Matt said as well. In the First Amendment, it's
clearly protected right. And at the point that people are protected to gather for their beliefs in religious places of worship and say their beliefs there, then the people also need to be able to gather on the streets, even if we don't have the money to buy a hall of worship. In conclusion, the public has the right to public spaces.
Thank you very much. And next we have Sarah Furman, and then following Sarah will be Eleanor Gragnon.
Good afternoon. I'm Sarah Furman. I live in Fairbanks, and I'm here speaking in opposition to Senate Bill 255. This bill is a clear violation of our freedom of speech and assembly protected in the Constitution, as you are hearing over and over again. The language in the bill is vague, will criminalize people involved directly or indirectly in constitutionally protected activities. The ability for U.S. citizens to assemble and protest is fundamental to our democracy. And there are examples throughout history when the people needed to use this right to fight injustices. The civil rights movement, the women's suffrage movement, I mean, we could go on and on and on, movements big and small. Looking back, we uplift these people and their leaders for moving our country forward. We don't say, oh, they shouldn't have blocked that sidewalk in their pursuit of fundamental rights. And I will conclude by saying these are the kind of bills that the kind of laws that authoritarian and fascist governments use against their people. And we don't want to do that.
Thank you for your testimony. Yes, ma'am, please place yourself on the record. And following your testimony will be Aurora Bowers. You want to queue up?
Hello, I'm Eleanor Gagnon. I'm coming to you from Fairbanks, Alaska, to urge you to oppose Senate Bill 225. And I want to highlight that public spaces exist for people to gather, and I would also like to follow up with what everyone else is saying about the vagueness of this law. What constitutes an obstruction? How many people? Is it 30? Is it 100? Is it 2 if they look a little ragged? Like, it's unbelievable. Who is deciding this, too? Like, none of this is discussed in this bill, and I think that is one of the biggest dangers of this bill. And finally, I want to say that this bill will harm people without homes the most. Our houseless neighbors are the ones who need our public spaces most. And taking away their access to spaces of safety, spaces where they can exist without fear, is a crime. It's a crime. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We brought that in right under the wire.
I try my best.
All right. So coming up next, Ms. Aurora Bowers, please place yourself on the record. Following you will be Patty Saunders.
Yeah, hi, my name is Aurora Bowers, and I reside in Fairbanks. So I was 11 when 9/11 happened, and the events that followed really set the course for a lot of my life. I got involved for the next year or so with my members of my family, who I come from a long line of Quakers, and so we joined with other Quakers, pacifists, in nonviolent protest against the invasion of Iraq. And, you know, we were on a crowded intersection, sidewalks in Fairbanks. And being involved in those protests as a child was a very empowering experience. And it really showed me my power as a citizen, even though we didn't affect the change that we wanted to have a voice. And obviously, we know this is a core right as Americans and as Alaskans. And, you know, this group of pacifists that I was a part of as a child could be criminalized under this bill. You know, there were how many, I don't know, 15, 50 of us standing on sidewalks, exercising our First Amendment rights. And under this bill, that could be a crime. And so I just wanted to say I want you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am, please place yourself on the record.
My name is Patty Saunders. I come from Anchorage. I'm a former lawyer. I spent 3 years in law school learning about things like the Bill of Rights and the rights of citizens and what democracy meant. I cannot tell you the horror engendered in my heart and my mind when I read this bill. when I realized that our governor was trying to impose this in Alaska. Not some, you know, let me just be blunt, not some nut job who tried to put this in front of us. Our governor is trying to impose this. Number one, this is guaranteed. I agree with everything that everybody has said before, and I won't repeat it. This is guaranteed litigation. Absolutely guaranteed. Somebody is going to get arrested, and somebody is going to sue because this violates the Constitution. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but it's going to cost a lot because it's going to go all the way up to the Supreme Court. So put that in your fiscal note. The second thing is, this is a solution looking for a problem. What evidence is there that any demonstration, rally, gathering, exercising a free speech or assembly in this state has caused any problem whatsoever to anyone? There's no reason for this bill, even if it weren't unconstitutional, which it clearly is. I am horrified by this. I cannot believe that the man who serves at the head of our government in this state is proposing this. Please, please make sure this does not happen.
Thank you, Ms. Saunders. Next up is Molly Lehman from Fairbanks. And following Molly will be Jeff Chen. So if you would, please queue up. Be ready.
Hi. Yeah. Okay, so I'm Molly Lehman, and I'm an opposed. I'm concerned that this bill, while on its face may seem to protect people's freedom of movement and access to emergency care, it is in fact will be used against peaceful protesters as an excuse to force people to vacate the premises when their opinions are inconvenient, restricting their rights to peacefully assemble. I ask you, who determines what constitutes an unreasonable inconvenience? And how can such broad language be equitably enforced?
Thank you. Excuse me, just for a note, Ms. Lehman, you were from Fairbanks, correct?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Fairbanks.
Just for the record, thank you very much. And Mr. Chen, if you would, please place yourself on the record.
Hi, my name is Jeff Chen. J-E-F-F-C-H-E-N, in Senator Clayman's district in Anchorage. And I'm opposed to SB 255. And like many others in the room, we've all been a part of protests and rallies. And we use these avenues in our democracy as tools for making change, you know, just like journalism, just like being a senator, just like putting on filibusters, just like conversations with our family. You know, they're all parts of our American democracy. And coming from an immigrant family, you know, we hold these things dear to us, and that's part of the reason why we're here. And I think it's just really important, like others have said, to better define this bill. Like, is a conversation with the governor going to be in violation of this if we have opposite ideas? So I think it's just an overreach of government and an impingement on free speech, and hope we'll all be able to oppose it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Next on the list is Andre Camacho. If you would please come up, place yourself on the record.
My name is Andres Javier Camacho. I live here in Juneau. I am heartened by everyone's testimony before me. I feel like it's in the spirit of what raising your voices in public spaces is all about. It is about feeling solidarity with those in your community, feeling like there's something shared between you that you care about. It is just such an essential part of this country. It's an essential promise of this country that we have this check and balance, that there are many ways to be heard in buildings and rooms like this, but that there is always, you know, just the greater public space of this country in which we can come together to demand, to cry out, to express the needs and the values of our community. It just feels like one of the essential promises of this country. And, you know, I think there's still a lot this country has to do to be able to honor the voices of all those that live here. And this bill feels like something that strips away a very key part of that process of making sure that in this country, your voice is respected and that your voice has influence and that there are many ways to do that. So I just want to voice my strong opposition to this bill. And I just feel buoyed by all of those that have come before me today to speak. Goodness Chiefs.
Thank you for your testimony. At this point, do we have others in the room that have not signed up on the list that want to testify? If so, please raise your hand or otherwise identify yourself to me. All right. So it looks like we have no one else in the room. And so bear with me for a moment. So with that, we're going to go to folks online. And so Mr. Garvey, if you would, please place yourself on the record and please hold your testimony to the 2-minute mark. Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, I am Michael Garvey, Advocacy Director at the ACLU of Alaska, calling in opposition to Senate Bill 255. We view the legislation before this committee as an unconstitutional and overbroad bill that would chill Alaskans' fundamental rights to freedom of speech and assembly. By creating a new crime, increasing penalties for existing crimes, and establishing extreme civil penalties, SB 255 would deter Alaskans from exercising these rights. The civil penalties, which are not based on actual losses or damages and could apply to a broad range of behavior, including potentially sharing information about a protest on social media, are the minimum amounts that could be imposed without having to prove a person acted negligently, unreasonably, or with bad intent. This form of strict liability likely means that our constitutional right to free speech could not be a defense. Additionally, when the government regulates speech and expression, it must do so in a narrowly tailored way that satisfies a compelling government interest. SB 255 was proposed to prevent hypothetical scenarios and is based on a right to free passage that is not found in either the federal or state constitution. The bill plainly does not clear the bar. Lastly, to uphold Alaskan's due process rights, the government must clearly define conduct that is prohibited. Implementing the concept of obstruction of free passage in public places would require law enforcement and prosecutors to make judgment calls about what conduct qualifies, because the definition could capture a lot of unremarkable activity. This standard is too vague to clearly understand and too subjective to avoid uneven enforcement. SB 255 is an overbroad solution in search of a problem and top to bottom a violation of our constitutional rights. For these reasons, we urge the committee not to advance SB 255. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Mr. Ed Martin. Mr. Martin, will you please place yourself on the record?
Yes, Ed Martin again from Kenai, Alaska. Thank you, Chairman, and the member of the body. There's documents that the government's put forward for you to look at. In fact, there's a PowerPoint presentation the Department of Law put on for you folks. And if you look at those documents as to what was in the first one provided, where it made a statement that is quite troubling to me, and then I asked to have that looked into. And it was bullet point on page 4 of the state's PowerPoint presentation that says, helps prevent Alaskans from engaging in self-help. And then the document you've got in front of you, and I questioned this last week with the Department of Law to give me a definition of what that means. Well, I can tell you something that I went to the, and you all can look it up. This has all started underfoot for quite some time, and I can tell you where it's come from. And it was in the Yale Law Journal that was created back in 2014. In which they asked a question. And so one might wonder when may a U.S. government institute attempt to redress a perceived wrong? They go further on to say American lawyers have not developed a framework for analyzing or administering self-help remedies in constitutional law. Well, may I remind you folks, the state of Alaska is a corporation. I am not surprised that they are moving forward to limit our free speech and our association, much less our travel or where we can reside. I can tell you this. Just 2 days ago, I went to the Kenai Borough, and there was a lay-down ordinance. And I know you guys know what lay-down ordinance is. It's something that they put in front of you right away, and it's supposed to be on.
Mr. Martin, that was the two-minute timer. If you would, please conclude your remarks.
I just want to add that our mayor, the Senate president, brought forward this ordinance, and it's about trespass and making criminals and
Mr.
keeping
Martin,
you
please
off
conclude your
rural
remarks.
Property.
Please respect our time limits.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. With that, we move to, looks like, Phil Moser of Juneau. Mr. Moser, if you're there, please place yourself on the record and provide your testimony. Please try and stay within the two-minute mark.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Okay. My name is Phil Moser. I'm from Juneau, Alaska. I'm calling in opposition to this bill. I previously testified on the similar bill in the House Committee on how this would exactly apply to Martin Luther King's march from Selma to Montgomery. It also would exactly apply to civil rights marchers back in the 60s and 50s doing sit-ins. I'd like to bring it back in a little bit and say that back in 2022, if this bill had been active, the Juneau's version of the Freedom Convoy, the protests against vaccinations that started in Canada. I don't agree with that protest, but it would have exactly applied here since that march in Juneau did not receive a permit by the time that they had gone, if they'd ever applied for a permit at all. So going off of that, I know a lot of people say that Juneau's a little bit of a liberal stronghold, but that would have enabled me and many people like me, if we had so chosen, to sue many, many different people around the state. We would have been able to sue, like me especially, I was made late to work, but I would have been able to sue former Commissioner Kelly Shibaka. I would have been able to sue State Representative Jamie Allard. I would have been able to sue State Representative David Eastman. I would have been able to sue current Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson. I would have been able to sue current Senator Dan Sullivan, and I would have been able to sue our local church, the Juneau Christian Center, for at the very least supporting and encouraging the protests that happened here. And according to this bill, they would have been on the hook for at the very least $10,000 of damages each. And that's just one person.
Thank you. If you would please conclude your remarks, that was the two-minute mark.
Okay. I'm just saying, right now, people are thinking that this bill will punish the right people, but just what happens when the wrong people get a hold of it? Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, I don't see anyone else online for testimony. Just one last roundup. Is there anyone in the room that hasn't testified or wants? Okay. So it looks like we have no one else. So with that, I'm going to close public testimony. And I'll note that we have online Robert French, Lieutenant with the Alaska State Troopers. He's online for questions. We have Andy Mills, Legislative Liaison with the Department of Transportation. And I believe we have Parker Patterson here. And does the committee have any questions? Any? Yes, sir. Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question that starts with Mr. Mills. And I wonder if Mr. Mills from the Department of Transportation could could point me to a state law that explicitly permits DOT to plow snow onto the sidewalks. I couldn't find one.
Senator Keel, this is Andy Mills with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. So through the chair, Senator Keel, I can find the regulations that talk about berms and clearing of snow, and I'll find that citation and provide that for you.
Follow up.
Thank you. Actually, I have a question for Mr. Patterson from the Department of Law. It may be that Alaska DOT has an explicit statutory authorization, but I did check city code and check with the city attorney, and the city and borough of Juneau does not have any code or regulation that allows its snowplow drivers to plow snow onto the sidewalks. And so the question for Mr. Patterson is, when they plow my sidewalk in, do I sue the city snowplow drivers in their personal capacity for $10,000 each or their professional capacity as city employees?
For the record, Parker Patterson, Assistant Attorney General, Department of Law, Civil Division. So I would have to kind of take a look through the chair, excuse me, Senator, I would have to kind of take a look at the city ordinances myself and see about that authority. So if I can dig into that and circle back with you on that one.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to report to Department of Law. I checked with the city attorney.
Sure.
There's no authorization.
Okay. I still would need to look at it myself before I would want to offer an opinion about that matter.
Mr. Chairman, there may be even more overbreadth than in the liability section than the public testimony has indicated.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee members? All right. Well, considering the topic, it looks like we did a pretty good job today of bringing in. I want to thank the testifiers and all for the civil conversation that we had today. So if there's no further discussions or questions from the committee members, please note that I'm going to set an amendment deadline for SB 255 for Monday, March 25th at 5 p.m. And with that, we're going to set this bill aside for further consideration. In wrap-up, I want to thank the committee members for being here and your attention today. Thank you to all the testifiers again. And as always, to our committee records LIO support staff who helped make today's committee meeting run smoothly, except for my throat at this last minute of the hearing. So this meeting is now adjourned at 2:40 p.m. Thank you.